Title: Noise and Hiss as Emotional Effects, Advanced, Drama and Bass in Ableton Live. All right, let's talk about something most people spend years trying to remove from their mixes. Noise. Hiss. Preckle. Bear. In drum and bass, that stuff isn't just a problem to clean up. It's an emotion tool. When you use noise on purpose, it can make a drop feel bigger by contrast. It can add nostalgia, like jungle tape or vinyl. It can build tension the way a riser does, because it's basically broadband energy that our ears read as something is coming. And it can glue a super busy combo of breaks, bass, and distortion into one coherent layer of air. The big mindset shift for this lesson is this. Treat noise as perceived loudness, not volume. A tiny amount of broadband energy can make a section feel closer, more intense, more expensive without you actually pushing peaks or blowing up headroom. And that's gold in DNB, where you need room for kick, snare, and sub. By the end, you'll have a reusable Noise FX bus with macros, and you'll automate it like it's a musical part, not a background accident. First, what we're building, conceptually. Your noise bus should be able to do three jobs, depending on the section. 1. A tape or vinyl bed under intros and breakdowns, subtle and emotional. 2. A pressure layer in the drop that increases density without masking transients. 3. A tension hiss riser that escalates into fills, drops, or switch-ups. One job at a time. If your noise is trying to be memory, pressure, and threat all at once, it stops feeling intentional and just becomes constant hiss. Now let's set up routing. Create a new audio track and name it Noise Bus. For monitoring, if you're using a dedicated noise source on that track, auto is fine. If you're feeding it live audio and always want to hear it, set monitor to in. For this lesson, I strongly prefer using it as its own dedicated track, option A, because then you can automate it like a synth line. It becomes part of arrangement, not just space. Next, choose your noise source. You've got three solid options. Option 1 is quick and classic. Vinyl distortion. Drop vinyl distortion at the top. Turn tracing model off, because it often behaves cleaner for this purpose. Keep pinch low, like 0 to 10%. Drive also low, 0 to 20%. You're not trying to distort the music, you're generating texture. Preckle somewhere around 0.5 to 3 is usually enough. Verses and drops. Keep it tiny. Intros, you can get away with more. Then put a utility after it, and pull the gain down. Start around minus 20 dB, and set it to mono at first. Teacher note, mono noise is easier to place. You can always widen later, but starting mono helps you avoid that washy cymbal smear problem. Option 2 is the most controllable. Use a noise or tape hiss sample in simpler. Drag in a white noise or tape hiss sample, switch simpler to classic mode, turn loop on, and find a stable part of the sample that doesn't wobble or click. Add a small fade, like 5 to 20 milliseconds, so it loops cleanly. This is great when you want repeatable, consistent emotional beds that behave the same every time. Option 3 is the signature move. Resample your own noise. Record 10 to 30 seconds of your room tone. An amp hiss, cable hum, field recording air, anything. You can leave warp off for purity, or warp it with Complex Pro if you want smear and character. That becomes your fingerprint across tracks, and it's an underrated way to make your productions feel cohesive. Cool. Now we shape this noise like it's a real instrument. On the noise bus, start with EQ8. High pass it aggressively. Use a 24 dB per octave slope, somewhere between 300 and 800 Hz. The point is to keep noise out of the low mids. Those low mids are where your brakes body and your bass power live. Low mid noise is the fastest way to make a roller feel like it's wrapped in a blanket. If it's spitting or fighting cymbals, add a small notch around 4 to 6 kHz. Then add a gentle high shelf at about 10 to 14 kHz, maybe plus 1 to plus 4 dB, just for air. Don't overdo it. Remember, we want emotion and glue, not frying bacon. Next, add auto filter for motion. Set it to band pass or high pass. A good starting point is to emphasize the hiss zone by putting the cutoff somewhere around 6 to 12 kHz. Keep resonance modest, like 0.5 to 1.5. If it whistles, you went too far. Turn on the LFO. Sync it to the groove. Try 1/8 note or 1/4 note. Keep the amount low, like 5 to 15%. You're aiming for breathing. If it sounds like a special effect, you probably pushed it too hard. Subtle movement reads as emotion. Now add saturator. This is a key step. Saturation makes the noise feel alive, like it belongs to the track, instead of sounding like a separate layer pasted on top. Try soft sign or analog clip. Drive around 2 to 8 dB, then compensate the output so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. Teacher note, if the noise suddenly feels better just because it got louder, That's not sound design. That's a volume illusion. Match levels and judge again. Next, dynamics. This is where noise turns from a layer into a performance. Add a compressor after saturator. Turn on sidechain. Feed it from your drum group or kick and snare bus. Ratio anywhere from 4:1 to 10:1, depending on how aggressively you want it to breathe. Attack 1 to 10 milliseconds so it gets out of the way quickly. Release 80 to 200 milliseconds. Tune it to tempo and vibe. Shorter release for tight rollers. Longer for halftime or more lurching grooves. Set threshold until you see about 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction on hits. This is the classic duct air trick. The noise stays present, but the drums keep their punch. And in DNB, punch is sacred. If you want jungle-style rhythmic air chops, add a gate before the sidechain compressor. Sidechain the gate from a break track or hats. Set the threshold so it opens on the hats and ghosts, not constantly. Return around 6 to 12 dB. Release 50 to 120 milliseconds depending on how skittery you want it. Now the hiss literally grooves with the break. It becomes part of the drum programming. Now let's talk stereo and space. Noise can widen a mix instantly, but too much can wreck mono compatibility and blur cymbals. Add another utility later in the chain for width. Try 80 to 130%. Automate it. When the drop is busiest, pull width down a bit so the center stays focused. When you want a breakdown to feel huge, let it bloom wider. Then add reverb, short and filtered. Room or ambience works well. Decay around 0.4 to 1.2 seconds. Predelay 0 to 10 milliseconds. And here's a big pro tip. Use the reverb's high cut to cut highs inside the reverb, like 6 to 10 kHz. Yes, you're putting reverb on a bright layer, then darkening the reverb return. That keeps it from becoming fizzy wash. Dry slash wet. Keep it subtle. 5 to 15%. Now we turn this into something you can actually play. A macro rack. Group your chain into an audio effect rack. Map macros like this. Macro 1. Noise level, map it to utility gain. Macro 2. Air focus, map to auto filter frequency. Macro 3. Movement, map to the auto filter LFO amount. Macro 4. Crunch, map to saturator drive. Macro 5. Duck amount, map to compressor threshold. Macro 6. Width. Map to utility width. Macro 7. Reverb wash. Map to reverb dry slash wet. Macro 8. Crackle, if you used vinyl distortion. And here's a workflow tip that matters. Gain stage your rack so that when the macro is at zero or the default position, it already sounds almost right. If you always have to run noise level at like minus 30 dB just to survive, you'll never automate confidently. Your default should be usable, and automation becomes expressive rather than corrective. Now let's do arrangement moves that feel very DNB. For the intro or breakdown, we're going for nostalgia and anticipation. Keep noise level somewhere like minus 24 to minus 16 dB. Audible but not obvious. Keep movement low. Reverb wash moderate. Then slowly automate air focus upward over 16 bars, like 6 kHz to 12 kHz. That feels like the room opening, like tape waking up, like air entering the scene. For the pre-drop, this is your tension hiss riser. Over 4 to 8 bars, raise noise level by 6 to 10 dB, increase movement, and if you want extra urgency, automate auto filter resonance slightly up. But be careful, resonance plus saturation can create sharp spikes fast. Then, one beat before the drop, hard cut the noise to silence, or slam it into extreme ducking. That moment of negative space is a weapon. Silence creates contrast. Contrast makes impact. In the drop, use noise as a pressure layer. Keep it lower, but present. Duck amount stronger. Width slightly reduced if your mix is busy. If you want that rolling energy, add a subtle 1/16 gate synced with hats, but keep it understated. It should feel like motion, not a sprinkler. For switch-ups and fills, try this. Bring noise up for one bar before the fill, then cut it. Noise becomes the blue that says something is about to change. Pair it with other transition effects like a tape stop or reverb freeze on a snare. And suddenly the edit feels intentional and cinematic. Now, frequency discipline. Noise lives exactly where your hats, rides, reese fizz, and distortion top end live. So treat it like a lead element, not a background pad. Use spectrum on the noise bus. Check that you're not dumping harsh energy around 8 to 12 kHz. Also watch out for tonal peaks. And here's a translation check that really works. Solo the noise bus during the drop and listen very quietly. If it sounds like a separate spray can, it's too peaky or too tonal. If it sounds connected to the groove, like it breathes with the drums, you nailed it. Common mistakes to avoid. Noise too loud in the drop. It masks transience and flattens the mix. Fix with more ducking or automation down. No high-pass filtering. Low-mid noise destroys clarity. Over-widening. Super-wide hiss can collapse badly in mono and smear cymbals. Static noise all track long. Emotion equals contrast. If it never changes, it stops working. And harsh resonance whistling. Too much resonance on auto-filter, especially before saturation, can get painful fast. Let's push into a few advanced variations. 1. Frequency-dependent ducking. Instead of one full-band compressor, use multiband dynamics after your tone shaping. Enable sidechain inside multiband dynamics and feed it from kick and snare. Then duck lows harder, mids lightly, highs medium, and you can even bias it so the snare clears the top end more. This is cleaner for bright noise that would otherwise fight your snare crack. 2. Center cut noise for width without mono pain. Put EQ8 in M/S mode. On the mid channel, gently shelf down the highs to reduce center hiss. On the side channel, gently shelf up the highs to add side air. The track feels wider and more expensive, but mono holds up. 3. Tonalized hiss. Add resonators after the noise. Keep dry/wet super low like 5-15%, and tune resonators to notes in your scale, usually root and fifth. You're not making a synth. You're giving the air a subtle pitch gravity, which can be ridiculously cinematic in darker rollers. 4. Clip-based automation. If you're working in session view, put noise level and filter automation inside clips on the noise track. Duplicate clips for A and B energy versions. This is a fast way to build variations without drawing a million automation lanes. Quick practice exercise. Set a timer for 15 minutes. Build this chain on noise bus. Vinyl distortion into EQ8 into auto filter into saturator into compressor with sidechain. Then utility. Then reverb. Map the 8 macros we listed. Then in a 32-bar DNB loop. Intro into drop. Automate like this. Bars 1 to 16. Noise level slowly rising. Air focus rising. Bars 15 to 16. Movement increases quickly. Last half beat before the drop. Noise level to minus infinity. A hard cut. On the drop. Noise level comes back low. Duck amount increases. This audio version is shortened for playback.